Hi, welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
You know, I love coming to church with good news stories. I was, as I walked in this morning, I was bumped into someone and I had been praying for this particular situation that they were facing throughout the week, and they're like, you know, we've had breakthrough. God's good, huh? God's at work in people's lives, and it's so great and such a privilege to stand with this family and this person as they face what seemed to be an insurmountable obstacle a few weeks ago, that God has given them breakthrough, that mourning has turned into joy, that God is still at work in our midst, that God is always, always, always working in and through every situation and circumstance. A few weeks ago, probably about a month ago, I had another person who came into our office, and they were in a situation, their son had actually lost their job, and it was quite a stressful situation for this person. And she just came into our office and she just wept. And she wept, and we stand with her and we gave her a hug and prayed for her and reminded her of the hope that we have in Jesus. That God is a God who answers prayers. That he's a God that is actively involved in our lives day in, day out. That he turns mourning into joy, that there is nothing impossible with him, that in him every prayer is yes and amen. That's the God that we serve. That's a God that we worship, that we come before today, who knows your every need. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what you're concerned about. He knows when you sit and when you stand. That's the God that we serve. And again, you know, God in his grace and in mercy, he answers our prayers. This person, this son, ended up getting a job that was probably more suited towards them than the one before. God is always at work in our circumstances. And when we're in the midst of challenge, we need to stand alongside and with one another, not against one another. We need to stand for one another. You know that song, you know, "Stand by Me," which is why I'm not on the worship team and I am preaching this morning. Yeah, it's been in my head constantly, you know, to stand with. What does it mean for us to stand with people? There's no greater privilege than standing with someone in the midst of their opposition. There's no greater privilege that we get to stand with someone when they're in the midst of despair. To stand with them in the midst of their struggle. That's a sign of courageous, so that's a sign of courage and bravery when someone has the capacity to stand with someone in the midst of obstacle. And this is why I love the book of Ephesians, because in a sense that's what Paul does. He rises above his own situation and circumstance in prison, yeah? And he gives a word to the Ephesus church that is one of hope and power, and reminds them about who they are and not focusing about who they're not. So let's start with the book of Ephesus. I'm reading from Ephesus 1. So bear with me. I want to read all of this passage because it gives Jesus the glory. It is for him, about him, and in him. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purposes of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making us known to the mystery of his will, according to his purposes, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you will know the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God is not dead. He is active, alive. Let me read that again. For far though he worked Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What an incredible passage of Scripture. What an incredible passage of Scripture that continues to remind us of the story that God has been writing since the beginning of time, and the role that we play, our part in it. A reminder that God is at work in our lives. And my prayer today is that today that God will... that your eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know the hope to which he has called you. And what are the riches of the inheritance that he gives us? You know, last week Troy talked about it. It was a brilliant sermon, I agree. Troy, well done. Gave us a challenge in regard to what are you standing on, using the analogy of, you know, the rock or the sand. Who are you standing for? Or what are you standing for and who are you standing with? This week I want to give you a little bit of a different challenge. I read this scripture in 2 Timothy 4:7, and Paul makes this really interesting statement where he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. It's a deeply moving affirmation of his unswerving faith and yielding love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an amazing and challenging role model he is for us, yeah? So what are you fighting for? Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, says this, 5 times I received the Jews 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rod. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in open seas, having been constantly on the move. I am being in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, thinking that they'd be advocating for him, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have laboured and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Surely, after all that, you would think that he would be like, I'm done with the churches. Seriously, I've got my own stuff to worry about. But in the mercy and the grace and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, he was the one that was being able to strengthen the church, to bring them hope and truth and speak into their identity, that they would be equipped and enabled to do the things that God had called them to do. Without question, the Apostle Paul was a warrior, never quitting, never flagging in his zeal for the Lord, because he pressed on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. You know, we may not face persecution, but we still face our own struggles against the pressures of the evil of darkness. And sometimes it's within ourselves, sometimes it's with each other. And often it's with the world around us. On the weekend, no, not on the weekend, last week I was with Brooke. I know most of you know that he won the Local Hero Award, and of course he's the face for what God is doing in the midst of many people who continue to advocate for the broken and the marginalised. And for those of you who don't know, we have a house called Platform 9 where we house the homeless and for those who have been impacted by domestic violence. There was one woman that he talked about a story where her husband would come in and he would wake her at 1 a.m. in the morning and beat her until 7 a.m. in the morning. How tragic is that? The darkness in our world is very real for some people. But we have a God a victorious God that tells us that there is hope in the darkest situations, that no situation is beyond the power of God to be at work in somebody's life and bring transformation to it. And as I sat there, I whispered to God and I'm like, God, I'm so grateful for the privilege we get, because there's so many people here, not just with Platform 9, but who continue to advocate on behalf of those people who don't have a voice. That's what we're fighting for. They're the people we continue to advocate for. And they're the ones that are often trapped in the midst of darkness and despair. So again, I want to pose the question, what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? A couple of years ago, we traveled as a family to, we were privileged, we took a bit of a sabbatical and we were privileged, we went and had a day at Disneyland. And as we walked out of Disneyland, we just had this amazing, you know, time together. And it was full of joy and all that sort of stuff. And it was just really special, for all of us. And I walked out and, you know, we went to go back to where we were staying, and at the traffic lights, there were all these Christians that were picketing, and the only thing on their signs was, gays are going to hell. And what I noticed more than anything than the sign was actually the anger and the venomous way that they use their passion to incite hatred and fear. And I don't want to get into a theological argument about what it is that you believe to be true about this. This is not the platform to do that. But what I do want to say is that our passion, when it's not guarded with a sense of love and compassion, can incite hatred. But you know, it's easy for me to point out the failures in others. But if I'm honest, I've often succumbed to the same sort of anger that often rises up in me. I'm so blessed for the voices of those people that I placed in my life that challenged me in the midst of my own sinful behaviour. I have this amazing spiritual director, and I was going through a bit of a moment with a work situation, and, you know, we sat together and she was doing some coaching with me, and she sort of, you know, I was doing the whole rant around how unjust it was and how this particular person was like impacting the work of God and all this sort of stuff. She listened and she listened and she listened. And anyway, she just took a deep breath, and she actually is a coach for Liverpool Football Club. And she said to me, she said, "Jen, do you know Luis Suarez?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sort of, I think. He used to play, you know, for Liverpool." And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I know him. He's one of the most passionate footballers that you could ever meet. But he's also the one that bit the ear of an opponent." And she said to me, "You know, Jen, passion without love is not passion at all. It's just anger. So are you passionate about this, or are you angry about this? Because there's a huge difference." And she said, "The outcome would not only impact you, it'll impact the work that God wants to do through you." So as we look at the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesians, it's interesting to consider that there was a shift in what he was fighting for. Prior to his conversion, and we know, Lord, about the miraculous encounter that he had from Saul to Paul, prior to his conversion, it actually says in Acts 2:3 that he says, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus, Cilicia," is that how you spell it? "But brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel." Sorry, my English is really bad. "Strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are today." So he was zealous for God, had passion for God, was righteous before God. He loved the church. He fought for the church. But if we look at the fight that he was fighting, one was violence. One was with violence and blinded him from the reality of who God was and what he was doing. And after his conversion, the other fight drew him into the presence of God and helped him understand that God was beyond all circumstances and situations. One killed the church. We know that he was there when the stoning of Stephen. And the other strengthened the church. See, religion didn't offer transformation, only Jesus did. And many of us, I think, are zealous for God, but we need to check if our plans, thoughts, behaviours and actions are actually according to his will and align with actually what the Bible is telling us. You see, a wise person once said to me that truth, just hardline truth, without love, is just cruelty. See, we can't stand on one virtue without soaking it in what Corinthians says, without love we are nothing. But what we often do is we get this self-righteous perception of what we believe to be true, and we stand on that without a sense of understanding actually how is that tempered with love and grace. In a moment of passionate frustration, I would call it, but my spiritual director would probably say passionate anger. I was having a bit of a rant about this particular person and situation, and my coach said to me, she said, "Jen, what does love and grace look like in this moment? What does it mean for you to be loving and gracious right now towards him? You want to live out the gospel? That's where it is." See, the challenge isn't for us to have an exegetical understanding on a passage of Scripture like Matthew 5, where Jesus talks about salt and light, as helpful and as important as that is in our understanding the gospel. The challenge is to allow Jesus Christ to teach me how I become salt and light in all places. There's a huge difference. If I can meet a persecuted Christian, that has one passage of the Bible and can spend their whole entire life learning how to put that into practice in their own life, then I have to be assured that I have enough of the gospel to challenge me to be the person who God wants me to be. How I action that is my choice. We don't need more information. We need to ask ourselves the question, how are we growing in the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. We can learn that and try and implement that in our lives for the rest of our lives. That should be enough of a scripture to transform our life in learning how to live the gospel in every situation. I feel like often we're in this information overload. The gospel should always propel us into action, transformation, change. We don't need more information. We need to learn how to love God and others well, beyond anything else. Ephesians 1 is a reminder of the gospel story and should affect how we should live our every part of our lives. So what are you fighting for? Paul was fighting for the church to stand in the midst of challenge and uncertainty on truth of who they were in God and not in their circumstances. He would remind them that the hope of Christ is in you and the hope of Christ is in me. See, the churches of Asia Minor were in a really difficult period. Paul was in prison and he was concerned for them. And in these things, he writes down a pastoral letter of encouragement and exhortation to them. And Paul affirms and encourages them in the hope that they have in Jesus. And he urges them to maintain unity that has been provided through Jesus' death and resurrection in the Holy Spirit, to empower them and urge them to stand boldly in Christ and the Spirit to withstand the powers of work against them. So the scripture in and of itself does three things. This particular scripture in Ephesians 1 and 2 do three things. I believe that it reaffirms their identity. You know, Paul reinforces their God-given identity and speaks into what is rather than focusing on what's not. Paul reminds the church of the biggest story that's being written and their role in it as God's adopted sons and daughters, that's who they are. It's their God-given identity that they have been adopted into. He talks about the victory, God's power triumphs all, that we serve a powerful God. And then he reminds them that our hope is in God. Our confidence that our small stories are taking place in the larger context of what God is doing. As children of God, the scripture tells us in Ephesians 1 that we have a glorious inheritance in Christ. This life and victory and power is ours. This is what Paul was urging the church in Ephesus to stand for in the midst of difficulty and oppression. To believe in the God who can do the impossible and for each person to take their role in living a life worthy of their calling as they determined how the way they would live out their life in the midst of what God was doing. So let me tell you what our church is standing for. We are a church with a cause and we have an impact on the lives of people beyond a gathering on a Sunday service. We are a church that doesn't just search out the truth but challenge people to live it. We are a giving church of our time, our finances, our resources, our love. We are a church that goes beyond the walls of this building. We are a church that believes in the power of prayer and know that God is listening. We are a church that bears witness to the transformational power of God in people's lives. We are a church that walks alongside the brokenhearted. We are a church that continues to be the light that the Bible talks about in Matthew 5, that gives glory to our Father in heaven. Do you know to gossip and murmur against the testimony of what God is doing in our church is a sin? Do you know that you are destroying the works of what God is doing in the church when you're doing that? You are working against it. It's wrong. We must be mindful of what we're fighting for and who we're listening to. God is at work. Don't diminish the power of the work of God in people's lives just because you aren't in contact with them. Don't diminish the power of work of God in people's lives because God is answering prayer. We started this service with talking about the testimony of God at work in people's lives. And if I asked you, I would hope you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life. God is working. God is moving. Let's talk about that. You got something to say? Say it in the right channels. Too many people know what the church is not, about what we're against, but they need to know what we're for. We need to stand for what we're for. You know, for me, I wept last year when I sat next to someone who's struggling with their sexuality, struggling because they're gay. And I wept with them because in that moment, what I realized is often these people feel so marginalized and judged by the church that they can't find a place in it. We need to show them what they're for. And so I sat with this person and I hugged them and I said, you know, above all, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Apart from anything else I say today, Jesus loves you. Jesus will always fight for you. Jesus cares for you and Jesus is walking with you. That's the truth. That's the God I serve. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He is walking with you. The passage in Ephesus is talking about and constantly repeats, in Him, in Him, in Him, in Him we find truth, in Him we find strength. So arise, church, today in God's strength. God has given you the strength to guide you, God's strength to uphold you, God's strength to look before you, God's strength to hear you, God's strength to speak to you, and God's strength to protect you. We serve a mighty, victorious God that is above all things. Let's celebrate that. Let's remind ourselves that this is the hope that God has called us to. And I'm going to get the band up now, please. Let's live it out. And it's not easy, I'll be the first to admit it. But I'm glad I have people in my life that continue to challenge me to live a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And that challenge me in that moment and say, Jen, how are you doing in that right now?
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show His love, grace, and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact He has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.